be good of us now to turn in the Scriptures to 1 John and chapter 2. We're reading in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. First, we must go to the Lord our God in prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we come seeking that You would heal us in our souls, heal us in our bodies, and You can do that just by speaking to us, and You can do that without speaking to us. But Father, as we hear Your word now, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see the gospel of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Cause us to understand the Scripture that is before us, that we may grow in knowledge and wisdom and all holiness and righteousness in Christ Jesus, and that even by it some here may be saved. Father, we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 12, these are the words of God. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His namesake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And that is the Word of the Lord to us, God's people. As the Apostle has written about our Advocate Jesus Christ, calling us to not sin, but to keep the Lord's commandments and walk after the manner of Jesus, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, love the brethren. Now He interrupts the calling. He's calling us to keep His commandments, to love. Now pleading with them is the hearers to consider not only what He is writing, but what they, the hearers, are to whom He is writing, what their character and standing are before the Lord. Here is the trumpet call, you might say, the summoning of the faithful to a recognition of their real and true position before Yahweh, Lord of hosts. And that with a view to their receiving that divine fellowship of chapter 1, it talked about of the light, love, and joy in God. And the Lord addresses us here through three designations of little children, fathers, and young men. This, in case you are wondering, still applies to all little girls, young women, and older women. These three designations are spoken of twice in order. And that there are two sets of statements, both which correspond with the other. The first set of three is in the present tense. I am writing, I am writing, I am writing. And the second set is, I have written, I have written, I have written. And why repeat these designations? But to be emphatic and make sure your attention is here. It is very important what He's saying to you. Because He's emphatic, He's saying, this is important. So listen. And we're taking this in the context of three verses in the whole context of the book. And so He's saying what is written here, not just in verses 12 through 14, is very important, but He's calling you to stop, to think what I'm writing in the whole of this book is very important. So give your attention to it. There is a common character in all believers. And so He calls all of you, first, little children. So in addressing us all as little children, the Lord, through John, is making a distinction between the first and second appeal to little children. Verse 12, I am writing to you, present tense, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. And that is distinct from the end of verse 13, I am written to you, children, because you know the Father. And perhaps He's saying the same thing in both cases, but looking at it from different angles, which you can do according to the Scriptures. For the Father is truly known only in the forgiveness of our sins for His Son's name's sake. It is often when the Son takes us by the hand and leads us home to the Father, not often, but it is when the Son takes us by the hand and leads us home to the Father, and when we discover how the Father deals with us in the Son, when the Son presents us to Him, the Father, that we begin to know the Father. Up until our sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus, we have not known the Father. Not even a little bit. We may have had thoughts of the Father, attempted to worship Him, but to no avail, for Christ was not interceding for you. Maybe He is not interceding for you now, if you're not a Christian. Perhaps you have, in that same way, misunderstood Him and done a great injustice to Him. You struggled to believe in His character and His rule and His law and His righteous treatment and requirements of all according to the law. You failed to keep His ways and His commandments. But we are moved to trust in the name of Jesus for salvation, which forgiveness and fatherly love comes so that you may know the Father. We know the Father through our sense of His fatherly love and the forgiveness for the sins of our sins for His Son's name's sake. And yet there's more here in the passage. The appeal is next made not to all believers, but to two different groups who are believers. There are those who are fathers, and next there are those who are young men. For the fathers, verse 13, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. Verse 14, the same thing. I have, except in the past tense, I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. He says the same thing twice. Fathers, you are the characterization of fathers. Are those who are old, speaking here spiritually exercised Christians, ready for glory. You have reached a higher, deeper, more satisfying knowledge of Christ as Him who has been from the beginning than that which is common to all the household of faith, all the little children who have been to Him by the Father. Your clear and calm understanding of the glorious person of Christ, for whose name's sake your sins are forgiven, and who introduces you to the knowledge of the Father. Your mature grasp on Christ and His eternal relation to the Father, the oneness with the Father from the beginning, all which should move you to a more zealous pursuit, a more zealous desire to hear the Word of God from John. So that's John's purpose here in these verses. And he addresses, finally, young men. You young men who are in the fresh and great prime of your life, yet manly, you have this manly Christian experience, yet not yet ripe for glory, but strong for the work of the Christian. Your heart, you are the heart now of the army of the Lord. A soldier of the cross. You too are being summoned here because verse 13, you have overcome the evil one. Verse 14, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. As good soldiers of Christ, you're reminded of your high calling, of that which is committed to you, what is expected of you. Your calling is in the field of battle amongst the world. The study, which perhaps for fathers may be best suited for them, may be best suited for aged saints who really can't get out into the world, perhaps more suited for advancing disciples, for the fathers and those fathers of the faith, some we have here in this gathering today, who may best serve the cause by enlarging under being enlarging under the Spirit's teaching and their own and the church's knowledge and of the eternal Word, working towards elevating their own and the church's view of the Son and the Father according to the Scriptures. But the zeal of spiritual youth points to the never-ending conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You especially, not saying fathers ought not to, just as young men should also study and meditate upon the Word and grow in their knowledge of Christ and the Gospel. But young men are especially called to wage war with the evil one in this world. And you have every encouragement to do so here in the passage. You've already overcome the evil one in Christ Jesus. For Christ has defeated him. Now be used in the bringing of the gospel to bear wherever you go. You are strong and the Word of God abides in you. Though the Word which testifies of Christ's victory abiding in you, the enemy is already beaten. He's already defeated. You have, in Christ, overcome the evil one. To believers of all ages, to Christians in every stage of life, the apostle appeals to you here. He first urges all alike to consider, as you are little children of the Father. And then those who are fathers of the faith, spiritual fathers. And then such as are young men who are strong. Those who are new in the faith, zealous for good deeds. By these appeals, he's calling us with the greatest plea in a manner which is very solemn and yet joyous to give heed to the teaching of the whole letter that John is writing here. And he stops. He interrupts the arguments and the commands he's making according to God's Word. He interrupts it. And he stops here to call your hearts to attention. Not just to go through the motions of reading the book, reading the letter that he's writing, but to get your attention on the Word of God, upon what he's writing here. And the call here to grab your attention stands between two opposite commands. And so it's sandwiched in between the two commands. There's the first one, which is positive. Love the brethren. Verses 9 through 11. And the other is negative. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. Verse 15. To love the Father and the brethren as the Father's family, and not to love the world who are in union with the evil one. These are the contrasted commands between which the Lord earnestly and affectionately appeals to you. To get your attention, the appeals here bear immediately upon loving God and the brethren, and not loving the world. And yet apply also for the whole of the letter. The distinction is created by what John has just been dwelling upon. The thing which is true in Christ and in you, that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Light is a divider. It was this way from the beginning. Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God separated, divided the light from the darkness. Even in the Lord's new creation of our hearts, new hearts, the light of Christ enters in, and immediately and necessarily he causes a division. It unites by a new bond of brotherhood, the children of the light. Among the body of Christ, it separates you, God's people, between you and the world. There's a division. This division is not our own making, for we on ourselves would only have darkness. But God shined a light into our hearts. He is in the light. He himself is the light. It is he who is the divider, not we ourselves. And this is all to humble us in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves, beloved, because your sins have been forgiven you. Looking at what is true of the little children that you're to remember. Your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. You understand that you have come to know God? That you have overcome the evil one? that you have been made strong and God's Word abides in you, if that is true of you, and you are a Christian, you have eternal life, then you are to humble yourselves before the one who gave you all these things, who shined a light into a dark place and brought you out of darkness into a marvelous light. It's all due to His sovereign mercy. Without that, what are you? And what are those in the church with it? Is there a division that has been created in you between the light of God and the darkness and stain of this world that remains in you? Do you realize it is there? Do you see it? If you're a Christian, we're being called to realize it more and more. Do you feel it? Do you grasp a sharp line in you between the light and the darkness? Because that is a clear sign that you are a believer in the Lord, and that you have believed the gospel, and therefore you have eternal life. Or, if you're considering your life, has it been meshed together, becoming unclear and hazy? What is the light and what is the darkness? And you can't tell the difference. We must choose who we are to love: God and the brethren, or the world. That is what is immediately being asked here in these verses, thinking of verses 9 through 11 and verse 15. Is it the church or the world? Which do you choose? Now, these commands from the Lord and appeals to us as little children, fathers, and young men do give us a legitimate source of humble and holy and thankful joy. But it's not merely so that our joy may be made full that John dwells so zealously on these elements of our oneness with Christ in this life. It is for a more practical purpose as well, that we may be roused to some adequate sense of duty of love which we owe to every brother in Christ whom, and sister, as in Christ and in us. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. And of the attitude which is best for us to have towards not only the brethren but the world. So looking again at the appeals of the verses before us, John here is not trying to classify each and every one of us according to different stages of advancement spiritually or advancement physically, either in this life naturally or in this life spiritually. We all are, we all should be, little children in respect to having our sins forgiven for the Son's name's sake, and so knowing the Father. That never ends. We are always to be in this way considered little children. If your sins are not forgiven, if you don't know the Father, then you have no salvation, no eternal life. And you're called again, again and again and again, to come to Jesus and believe in Him, lest you be judged eternally. We are all little children. We're also all, in some respects, fathers in respect of our loving insight into the mystery of the Son's being from the beginning. We all are young men in respect of our overcoming the evil one. But what we are in all these three aspects of our spiritual history and experience, John calls our attention to this letter and of his and its teaching, which is God's Word, in a special way that we may love the brethren and not love the world or the things of the world. We are little children first. And it is the instinct of little children to cling to home and shrink back from the strange world outside. What makes us little children? Our being moved and made willing to accept the forgiveness of our sins for the Son's name's sake, and our coming in that way to know the Father. The Lord says in Matthew 18, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Our conversion, salvation in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, makes us little children. For we know the Spirit takes out of us the proud, cold heart of manhood or adulthood that's often there, and creates in us the humble heart of that little baby who is completely dependent upon the mother. We might even say, and the father. The manhood's heart in me and in you is filled often with suspicion. Selfishness recoils from submitting to God and resents the idea of dependence upon someone and indebtedness to another. And so I and you believe often that we must justify ourselves. That's how we act often, even as Christians, trying to justify ourselves before God when we have sinned. I will do something to make myself right, we say to ourselves, or we act that way. Even when you go to the Father, it is only because you want something. You go to the Lord in prayer because you want something selfishly. Rather, we should come before Him that He would forgive us freely without payment from us, instead of trying to pay Him, trying to buy forgiveness or work for it. All the pride of manhood, self-righteousness, all the stubbornness of manhood, self-will has gone out from me, from the little child who's now come to Christ. Be pleased, like when you were the infant being held by your mother and relieved by confessing your sins before your advocate who forgives freely. Want to be held like you were crying to be held by your mother or your father. That's how you are to go to the Father who is in heaven, to rest in His arms, and to find comfort, to find provision, to find protection. In these ways you are to be little children. And then at last you know the Father, what kind of Father He is. When the Son's for His Son's namesake He has taken you, relieved you from that great load of guilt and sorrow, and brought you all home to Him. Home. Like when the little children gets home, they're excited. When they leave, they're kind of not excited sometimes. They like the comfort of home. This is, we all in some ways like the comfort of home. And He forgives you of all your iniquities. Is that the way it is for you, with you, when you go to the Father and He forgives you of your sin and you know it? The little child's heart is in the home of loving parents and brothers and sisters. Away from that home, he is often uneasy and unsatisfied. In the world, homes of great splendor that men of the world would consider great, and places of great wonder, they will not satisfy a little child. They don't really care about those things. The little child longs for his father's well-known embrace, the mother's well-known embrace, and for the brotherly affection of those who share it with them. Believers, you are little children, are you not? Before the Father, converted, and have you not become like little children, having Jesus bring you to the Father to receive forgiveness, to know His love, to know His embrace? And it is as little children that you are exhorted to love the brethren and to not love the world. Secondly, you are fathers. First, you are babes in Christ, newborns at first, in a sense always so, as we just saw. For you are always renewing the experience in respect of which you are little children. And yet as newborns, you do desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow, that you may become strong, just as a baby longs for the milk of his mother. But in that respect, you are not to remain as little children, are you? You are to grow up and be weaned and move on to eating solid food and meat to become strong. Not always being little children with respect to self-righteousness and self-seeking and selfishness. But in your understanding, you are to move on to adulthood to become men, fathers. You are to attain wisdom and insight that is in accordance of those who are of full age as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What makes you fathers, every single person here in this sense, what makes you fathers is you're knowing Him who has been from the beginning, continuing to know Him more and more and more, growing in your knowledge of Him who has been from the beginning, that which was declared to you in the gospel, which leads to eternal life. And you can ask yourself, if you've been a Christian for a while, do you know the gospel more now than you did when you first believed? And Lord willing, all of you would say, yes, I do. By God's grace, you do. You have grown in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been from the beginning. It is your being taught and enabled by the Spirit to grasp the Word of God more and more. And so rise to a believing apprehension of the ultimate ground and reason of the redemption in the deep and unfathomable, unchangeable nature of Yahweh, and the purpose of the Father's good pleasure that His Son be heir of all things, and the covenant securing from eternity for the Son His humiliation, obedience, and death, the people who are His own, a body He is to be head of. It is such knowledge as that of Jesus, who is from the beginning, and the gospel that we have in the Scriptures, that we should be pursuing being like a father, who must lead his family in the things of God, who must lead others, who are to disciple others. As you pursue this second appeal, knowing Christ who has been from the beginning, it is in this way that your Christian character acquires a certain ripe fullness, and what comes about is a grasp that you have eternal life, Lord willing. Assurance of salvation. And thus be no mere little children only, apt to be tossed about upon waves, to be unstable. No, you become fathers in that way. Those fresh feelings must continue of childhood, that zeal must continue of childhood, that longing to embrace the Father, continually going to Him, continually longing for Him. That must continually be your pursuit, so that your life is lived with great zeal and focus towards the Father who is in heaven. But you must press on towards the meat of getting to know in a much greater way the Savior and your Father. As little children, you let the Son lead you up to the Father, that you may receive forgiveness for His name's sake, and so you may know the Father. As fathers, you're to humble yourselves and love the brethren, the children. You find the Father giving you new knowledge of the Son through His Word, as He has been with Christ from the beginning. No man knows the Son but the Father, and yet, you little children, as you grow into fatherhood, you begin to know Christ more, who is from the beginning becoming truly sharers in the Father's knowledge of the Son. That knowledge that the Father has, you become sharers in it. So how much more then should you love the brethren and not love the world? You are called here to have a father's intelligent interest as well as a child's loving instinct, keeping your affections at home with the Lord and the brethren. Third, then you are to be like young men. As such, you are to be strong, because the home of brotherhood, which you are to love, and the world, which you are not to love, are not far apart, at least not yet fully. They shall be fully one day, completely separated, but now they are very close to you. They're very close to me. They meet not only daily out there in the world, but even within your heart. There is a constant battle to fight to keep the world out of your heart. And how may that be? How but by the Word of God abiding in you and abiding in me? Let that Word dwell in you richly. Let it so richly dwell in you that the world, when it comes to enter in or desire your surrender, that the world will find no success. The evil one will find no success. The evil one, the world, will find no access, the door closed, no weak defense, no sinful longings, no lingering love of the world or the things of the world. that you respond, the world is so strong. The evil one, the devil, is so strong. Often drawing me away from the loving of the brethren, loving God and fellowship with them and God, and drawing me into conformity to its own evil ways. And John says here, but remember, young men, brethren, that you have overcome the evil one. He is the prince of this world. The devil is. He is stronger than you. But you, Christian, have overcome him in Christ Jesus. And so be assured by the word of God that abides in you that he has nothing in you now, any more than he has in Christ Jesus. He cannot accuse you now before the Father. He has no right to rule over you, for Christ rules over you. You're not at his mercy and must blindly follow after him. You're not dependent upon his lies, but you stand in the favor of God and you have won the victory. You're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Any unity, peace, ties you have with him or the world or the things of the world, cut off now and be united at peace with and tie yourself to the love of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and the brethren. So be strong, young men, Christians. Fight the good fight, because the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. When John is writing here, he's saying to you who believe the gospel, I know that you believe in Jesus. I give you all credit for being Christians. Praise the Lord. I appeal to you in every view of your Christianity as little children, fathers, and young men, and by all that is implied in your being little children, fathers, and young men. Hear me. I write to you. Listen carefully what I'm writing in this letter. As little children, know the Father by an ever-growing clinging to His rich and free love and forgiving you for His Son's namesake. As fathers grow in Christ, in entering constantly before Him to understand and comprehend the Father's knowledge of the Son as being from the beginning. And as young men, be strong in Christ, who is the Lord, your righteousness, and therefore the Lord, your strength, fortified by His Word, abiding always in you richly. Bold and brave in asserting the victory over the wicked one that is already yours in Christ Jesus. A summary of verses 12 to 14. By all that is simple in your childhood, by all that is godly in your fatherhood, by all that is divinely strong in your manhood, be persuaded to give heed to what I, John, have written and what I do write, to love the brethren and to not love the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you and thank you for how you call us to continue sanctification, to continue putting sin to death and pursue righteousness in Christ. To remember always, as your people, that we have been forgiven in Christ Jesus of our sins. And thus we have come to know the Father. We are your people, and thus we have eternal life. And we can rest in your arms. And we can come to hide in you. You provide for us. You protect us. And you are faithful to keep your promises. As fathers, as each believer here, we ask that we would continue to be spurred on towards growth in Christ Jesus. That we would dwell upon your word. That we would come to know Jesus more and more each day. That we would be given your Father, your knowledge of your Son who has been with you from the beginning, eternally past, before creation. And Father, we ask that you would strengthen us as we have already overcome the evil one, that the flesh, the sin that still remains, you would work your Spirit and your Word in us to put it to death, that we would be strong in Christ Jesus that as we are weak, you would make us strong. That although he is, compared to us without Christ, he is stronger than us. The world is stronger than us because we are weak. But in Christ Jesus, we are strong. We've already overcome Satan. Therefore, we've already overcome the world. We've already overcome sin, and yet it still remains. But one day it will not remain any longer. And so let us zealously fight the good fight and continue pursuing holiness in Christ alone. Father, heal our souls. Comfort us. Give us, as this book is the very purpose of this book, give us assurance of our salvation. But any here who might have a false assurance, Father, we ask that you would save them and cause them to see that they have a false assurance, and that you would turn them unto you, the Son, to believe in him, and that they would know the Father, having forgiveness of sins. Father, we pray these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.